Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
We're looking at true spirituality in a real world. So the next three messages are going to finish up the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives on the hillside overlooking Jerusalem to the east of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, and these next three messages are going to touch upon what true spirituality looks like. So this morning we're going to kind of look at individuals, and then we're going to look at community and so on. Okay. How true spirituality looks in a real world. And so, I want us to begin in chapter 6. And before we do, I want us just to look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, dear God. We pray that you would speak to us through your word. It is the living word of God. It is more than just words on a page. It is your holy scripture. It is your words spoken to us, Lord. It's still alive. It's active. It's able to penetrate our hearts and our lives, to show us what is right and wrong, to show us how to serve you, what a true spirituality looks like, what it means to honor you, what it means to worship you, Lord. How we can know you and fellowship with you, Lord. It's your word to us. And so, Father, we pray you take your word this morning and let it speak life into us. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Be careful to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them." Now, did I read that wrong? Be careful to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. Is that what it says? Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. So that verse right there, verse 1, sets the tone for the whole message that our acts of righteousness should not be done before men to be seen by men, but they should be an outflow of our life. Now, there's a word that's going to come up in three different areas here for each point. First one's about alms or giving to the needy. Second one's prayer. The last one's fasting. And that word is hypocrisy. Do you know what that word hypocrisy means? We sometimes use it a lot. Oh, that hypocrite. What do we mean by when we say, oh, that hypocrite? Two-faced? They act one way, but we know what really their heart is like, right? We know, right? But we're never hypocrites, right? Never, never hypocrites. Hypocrisy, the Greek word there in the imagery, refers back to the Greeks in the opera and the theater, okay? And so in the opera and the theater, they wear masks sometimes, right? They wear masks to portray a different character. And that's what that hypocrisy means, is to wear a mask that makes you look different from who you really are. So, you know, the hypocrites, they would, when they gave or when they prayed or when they fasted, they'd put on their "I am spiritual," right, mask. I look spiritual. So that's what we're going to talk about, when really they weren't spiritual in their heart. So who has their mask this morning? All right, so whenever I refer to the mask, all right, put them on. Everybody put their masks on that has them. There's a few of them out there, okay? We're going to refer to them at different places. And so I'm going to give the "I am spiritual." Who wants to be "I am spiritual" mask? Who wants that one? Anybody? Nobody wants to be spiritual this morning? All right, Kat? I'm just feeling it this morning. Yeah. I am, yeah. All right, so let's dive in this together. So people were doing things to be noticed by others rather than actually letting the spirituality flow from within. And another way to say it is they were doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. You ever done that? You've done the right thing for the wrong reason? That's what they were doing. So the question is, what does true spirituality look like? What does it look like for you and I to be spiritual? And secondly, how do we cultivate true spirituality in a real world? And what I mean is the real world is that we live in a real world. What's our world right now? It's different from what biblical times was, right? We got the internet, we got TV, we got schools probably looks different, our communities look different. What does true spirituality look like for us today? Think about that as we go through the message. So let's go to verses 2 through 4. Jesus is talking about giving alms. And we don't use that word alms. I don't think I've been in a conversation with anybody lately and says, oh, I gave alms. You know, we didn't say that, but maybe we gave to somebody in need, right? So it means to give to somebody in need. It's different from giving in the offering, maybe per se towards tithes and offerings. It is an offering, a gift to somebody that is in need. Okay, verses 2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their full reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand, my left hand, know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, that your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. All right. So when the hypocrites gave, they gave alms or money to the poor, they made a spectacle of it, right? All right. Okay, Mary Beth, you have to put it on, you know. There you go. Yes. Yes, and I'm a spiritual one, right? Okay, and I'll be this one, right? Okay. All right, put on your masks, all right? So they put on their mask, right? Saying, "I'm spiritual. Look at me." All right? So that's what they did. They wanted people to be noticed instead of helping out and being a blessing to somebody in need. So they blow the trumpets, they draw the crowd and get attention. And Jesus says, you know what? If you give in this way, you already received your reward. There's no reward waiting for you up in heaven. You've received it. You got the acknowledgement of men. You got their praise. But you know what? It does nothing towards your, it may build your self-righteousness, but it doesn't increase your spirituality before God. What Scripture calls us to do is to give to the needy because that pleases the heart of God. We are to do the right thing for the right reason, and that is to glorify God, and it should be an outflow of our life, not to be noticed, but to be a blessing to others. So the principle we want to catch here, and that's in your program, is let your generosity be discreet. Let your generosity be discreet. Now, you can go to extreme measures on this. I've had some people that we've received gifts that have been totally anonymous, and they want it totally anonymous. And for the most part, you put your offering in the offering plate, and nobody's going to know what you gave. I think the idea is here that we aren't giving to be noticed, to get praise, to get acknowledgement. We're giving because it's worship to God. It should flow out of our heart. But we should do it in a way that it is discreet, doesn't bring attention to us. Does that make sense? We're all called to be generous to the needs around us. To the best of our ability, we should do it for the right reason. You know, and I think in our world, when somebody gives that big donation to an organization, what do? They get them a big check, right? And then that organization or that person, you know, gets acknowledgement, right? You know, and I kind of wrestle with that a little bit, right? That our giving should be done in such a way that it doesn't bring attention to us. It should be an outflow of our heart, right? Because really, if God has blessed you with income, you know, some people inherit it, some people work hard for it. Whatever the case is, your wealth really doesn't impact your spirituality. How you handle that wealth maybe does, and what you do with it for the motive of your heart would probably dictate more than anything else. So, be generous. I think this thing you want to catch here is let your generosity be discreet when you give. It's not all about you. Amen? Number 2, let's go to verses 5 through 15. It says, in the same way, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Okay, put on your masks. Okay, all my hypocrites out there, just for today, all right? All right, you're helping me out. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth. So they'd stand out in public and they'd pray their extravagant prayers, wordy prayers. they were, you know, they sounded good. They used all great words. They just flowed. All right. They sounded spiritual. It's kind of like, wow, I wish I could pray like that. But this is what Jesus says. They've received their full reward. When you pray, do go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans. So they got all these words. For they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what they need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven others our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow, that's kind of a kicker there at the end, isn't it? Wow. All right. So the hypocrites, again, they wanted to pray. When they prayed to be noticed. Is that why we should pray? No. Our prayer is to be fellowship and communion with God, right? And then we come before God for our needs and our requests. But we come before God, before Him. We're not coming before anybody else. When we come before Him and we want to be noticed, that means that I'm trying to be, who did I give? I'm spiritual. Who has the I'm spiritual? Yes, yes. It's trying to play that card that, hey, I want to be seen as spiritual. It doesn't mean that I am spiritual. I want to be noticed. The point we want to catch here is that we are to humbly seek God and His provision. Humbly seek God and His provision. That humility, it means I'm coming before Him. I need Him. I'm coming before a holy God. So I'm not going to barge in there, but I'm going to come with praise and worship, right? I'm going to humbly come before Him, realizing He's God, I'm man. All right, if He wanted to squash me like a bug, He could. All right? He's God. And we have to remember that when we come before Him, that He is a holy God. And so He gives us a model prayer to pray by, okay? Now, we call it, what? The Lord's Prayer, right? Now, I don't think Jesus intended for people to recite this whenever they gather, okay? I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with doing that. But what He wanted to lay forth was, these are some principles that should be included when you pray. So the first, it begins, hallowed, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, I'm acknowledging His holiness, who He is. So I come before God and you know, I maybe have a request, but I need to come before Him and worship Him and say, God, you're holy, you're awesome. Realize who you're coming before. And then we pray for provision in a couple areas. Your kingdom come, your will be done. No, God, it's my will, right? You ever prayed that way? Say, God, this is the way it's going to happen. This is the way it's going to go down in Jesus' name, right? Jesus says, thy kingdom come, your will be done. You know, we can come before God with our prayer and our requests, but I always think it's important that we say, God, above all, let your will be done. Jesus did that in the Garden of Gethsemane the night He was betrayed, didn't He? He says, God, I don't, the way of the cross, it's going to be painful. He knew what awaited Him. He goes, if there's any way you can deliver me from this hour, please do it. But He says, but not my will, but your will be done. You know, I think that's a good thing to always qualify our prayers with, because we don't always see the future. And how many are glad that sometimes God hasn't answered your prayers the way you wanted Him to? And sometimes even tragedy or just difficult things in our life, we say we would never have prayed it and saying, God, we, you know, that wasn't part of the plan. But sometimes God brings some really good things out of those difficult times in our life. And if God would answer the prayers sometimes the way we wanted them to be, we would have disaster. I think it's always important to say, God, your will be done. He also says, give us today our daily bread. And some scholars, you know, kind of, is he talking about bread for today, bread for tomorrow? The idea is that we're praying to God, saying, God, give us the bread that never ends. It never runs out. You are our provider. You're going to provide for me today, tomorrow, this week, next week, this month, this year. You're my provider. Give me today my daily bread. I think it means on a physical level for our food. I think for our housing. I think it applies even on a spiritual level that God is our nourishment, that we need to come before him today saying, God, give me your source, your living bread to nourish my heart and my soul. Amen? He also then prays for forgiveness. God, help me forgive. Forgive us our debts. So I need, first of all, I'm praying for my forgiveness, my debts, my sin, as we also must forgive our debtors. And then he goes down to that verse 12 and or 14 and 15, that if we don't forgive, God can't forgive us. It's kind of like, wow. But God, you don't understand what they did to me, right? God says, you know what? If you can't forgive them, I can't forgive you. And see, the thing is, God forgave us. He gave us of all the wrongdoing that we did. We didn't deserve it. All he wants us to do is to extend that same forgiveness to others. You know, and it's not letting people off the hook. You are. You're letting them off the hook, but you're also saving your soul. You're also freeing yourself so that God can bring healing and restoration in your life. Unforgiveness doesn't harm other people. It does harm us. It will poison your heart and your soul. I wish there wasn't cruelty in this world. I wish people didn't do bad things, but there is wickedness in this world. There is evil in this world. People do wrong things. It's part of it. Reading through the book of Genesis. Doesn't take very long. You get into the book of Genesis and Cain kills Abel over whose sacrifice was the best. God liked Abel's sacrifice. He didn't like Cain, so Cain went out and killed his brother. First murder in Scripture. They didn't see it on TV or anything like that. It just came out of envy in the heart. Just think about Adam and Eve having to forgive their son Cain. Difficult things. We live in a cruel world at times, but we have to forgive as Christ forgave us. Last one is deliverance. God, help me. Deliver me from temptation and from the evil one. You know, that needs to be part of our daily prayer, doesn't it? My father-in-law, who's with the Lord now, but he had this morning prayer, and we made laminated copies of it. It's a poem that he made, and you know, just part of that is just, God, deliver me from temptation, whether it is lust, whether it is greed, whatever evil in my heart. We maybe need to make that available again and just make some laminated copies and put it in as a bookmarker in your Bible. But it was a great prayer just of humbly coming before God, saying, God, here I am. I need your help today to live a godly and holy life. That is how he calls us to pray. And that is where I think true spirituality happens. When we go before God, find that secret place. It doesn't have to be a room that has four walls and has a door, okay? The idea is that we find a place where it's us and God and we connect with him. And it's not about gaining attention for the other people. It's about coming before God and seeking his face, right? Your public prayer life should be like a tip of an iceberg. What do I mean by that? The iceberg, most of the iceberg is where? Below the surface. See, that should be your prayer life. The tip of the iceberg should just be what people see. The bulk of it, they have no idea what is happening in your life. It'll be evident by other ways, right? But our prayer life should be, most of it should be below the surface, all right? So God isn't saying don't pray in public. We do a lot of public prayers, right? We pray for stuff, right? Saturday mornings, we pray publicly. But I've been in circles where some people won't pray publicly because they're like, oh, I can't pray like that person. Man, that person can just pray, and they know what to pray for, and it sounds good. It sounds so spiritual. Just how they, God, you know, just when they say, how they say God, you know. It's just, and so then we don't want to pray, right? It's kind of like, oh, I don't, man, the anointing, the power doesn't fall when I pray, you know. But when that person prays, wow, watch out, right? And so then we get into all those different things, right? We go to God in that secret place. Wrestle with him in prayer. And let it transform and change your life. The principle we want to seek, get there is humbly come before God, right? That was the point. Humbly seek God and his provision. There we go. Number 3, verses 16 through 18. Wow, we're making great time today, huh? When you fast, do not look somber. Okay, so you need your mask on again. And I got the somber mask here, I think. I'm missing a few teeth. This is my crazy face here, right? Okay, I'm missing a few teeth. I'm trying to look miserable because why? I'm fasting and I want everybody else to know that I am fasting. I'm spiritual and I'm miserable, but I want everybody else to share in that, okay? Because I'm spiritual, right? Yep. For that's what the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their full reward. But when you fast, put on your head and wash your face. Put oil on your head and wash your face, so that you will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, only to your Father who is unseen. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So like giving to the poor in prayer, the religious people tried to make it obvious, right? They put on their ugly face, distorted face, saying, I'm fasting, right? Instead of fasting to seek God, they were fasting be seen as spiritual. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But I think even with fasting and even with prayer, there is humanness in all of us, folks. There is a little bit of hypocrite in all of us, can we be honest? That wants to be seen as spiritual. That's what the hypocrites, the religious leaders, and whoever fell in that category, that's what they wrestled with too. That when we sometimes do the things that God calls us to do, we think that that action is what makes us spiritual, but it's God, that his work within our lives, that's what true spirituality is. It's from the inside out, not from the outside in. The principle we want to catch about fasting is fast so God has your attention. And I thought about this point a lot. Fast so God has your attention. You're not going before God and fasting and prayer to get the world's attention. You're going before God and fasting and prayer to get his attention, right? You want to be seen by him. You want to see him. And say, God, I'm serious. Okay, I'm fasting. I'm denying myself something because I want to come before you. I want to know you. Or maybe I'm coming before God, seeking him on something or someone's behalf, but I'm coming before God and I say, God, I want your attention. And I'm coming before you. I shared on that Facebook Live here a couple weeks ago about Jehoshaphat. Three armies were coming from the east. This vast army, just a huge army, was coming from the east. They hadn't done anything to provoke this army, but here they came. They were coming to annihilate Jehoshaphat and the Israelites. And what did Jehoshaphat do? He went up in his palace, closed the doors, curled up in a ball, and he cried. It's there. I'm teasing. That's not what he did. What did he do? He called the people together, and he says, we're going to have a fast. He called everybody. So people came from all over, from all different towns. They fasted and they prayed. And as they fasted and prayed, God's spoke through a prophet and says, you know what? Stand strong. Don't be afraid. I am going to go before you. And so they went out to meet the army. They prayed the night before. And as they go out to meet this army, they had this prophecy, this prophetic word that came forth. They're going to go out. And they went out with praise and worship. So as they leading the battle, you have these worshipers going. They're just praising and worshiping God. They're going out to meet the army. And as they were doing that, what was happening? They couldn't see the army, but what was happening? The different groups within that army began to turn on each other and they killed each other. And they totally wiped out each other. And so they get to the hillside that overlooked the valley and what did they see? They just saw dead people. They went and picked up the plunder. It took them 3 days, I think. Don't quote me on that, but I think it was 3 days. It's Chronicles chapter 20, 1 Chronicles chapter 20, I think. Picked up the plunder. Jehoshaphat called a fast to get God's attention, saying, hey, we need your help. This army is too massive for us. They'll totally wipe us out. There's no way that we can handle it. So he called upon God. And they sought the face of God. Daniel, if you read the book of Daniel, Daniel comes before God and he goes into a fast because he realized the 70 years that they were going to be in Babylon was almost finished. And he worried that God was just going to leave them there forever in Babylon and not bring them back. So he fasted and prayed. And then God gives him all these prophecies. So the last part of Daniel is all these detailed prophecies. And they say, no way could Daniel have written this when he did because they're too accurate. There's too many details. It's like he had the newspaper from that time. It was so accurate and detailed what would happen with armies and kingdoms. But God downloaded all these prophecies of what would happen and take place. Fast so that God has your attention. Seek God. Let it be done in secret. True spirituality is cultivated as we participate in spiritual disciplines. And I use that term every once in a while. Spiritual disciplines such as prayer, fasting, giving, those are disciplines, okay? They help cultivate spirituality in our life. Now, they themselves don't make you spiritual, but they put you in an environment where God can work in your life. So when I pray, I'm not holy and righteous because I pray, but when I pray, God begins to transform me on the inside. He does something in my life. Amen? When I bow that knee, when I come before him, there's transformation that takes place in my life. That's where the holiness comes. That's where the spirituality happens. We put ourselves in a position to hear from God. Paul says to the church in Galatia, it's found in Galatians 4:19, he says, I'm praying and I'm weeping for you. I'm wrestling with you in prayers so that Christ may be formed in you. I like that word, that Christ may be formed in you. That is what spirituality is that it's something that's formed within the inside of us and that it flows out. All right, let's wrap this up. As I give anonymously to people in need, it frees me. Okay, that's the spiritual discipline. Giving, when I give, it frees me from the hold that money can have in my life. Who has the money signs? Mary Beth? Yep, there. So when I give, when I tithe and I give to the church, when I give to somebody in need, I see a need there. And I don't think you have to give to everybody in need. I think there's something about just being responsive to the Holy Spirit and saying, hey, I want you to give to that person today. Whether I see the need or not, I'd rather trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit, okay, than what I sometimes see. Because sometimes I have enough experience that sometimes the people that are asking for the money don't need the money. It's the people that don't ask that need the money. Am I making sense? So I'd rather follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But it's that that frees me from the hold that money could have in my life. I'm susceptible to it. You're susceptible to that. If you want to be a generous person, it'll make you, it'll help you to not hold so tightly to those things. You can't take it with you. All right? Can't take it with you. I don't know if you ever heard the song, never seen a Hertz pull U-Haul trailer trucking down the road. In other words, you can't take it with you to heaven, right? All right. And when you come to God in prayer in that secret place, that's where you're transformed. We pray with expectation that God will change life, our circumstances, but in the process, he changes us. True spirituality happens when we come before holy God. We wrestle with him in prayer. The flesh dies. The spirit comes to life within us. That is true spirituality. That happens in our prayer time. As we wrestle with God, our flesh dies, the spirit comes to life, and we are changed. Number three, fasting. We set aside things that we love or like to seek God and to hear from God for a time and a season. It can be a meal a day, it could be a day, it could be a week, whatever the case is. But we set aside things that we love so that we get God's attention and we come before him. We maybe die to ourselves a little bit in that process, but we set aside those things saying, God, I want to hear from you. And in that process, I believe that we are changed and transformed. Whether it's sin, unhealthy habits, thoughts, and desires, they'll be stripped away as we hunger for God and his word. I think that is true spirituality. Amen? I'm going to have the musicians come. True spirituality. We're going to keep diving into this next week. This was more focused just on us, and then we're going to look at more what it means within community and beyond that. So the question I have for you today is, what masks are you wearing? Do you have masks that you put up at times so that you appear spiritual? I think we sometimes do. Maybe not without realizing it. And that's something for you and God. So as we close in prayer, will you just come before God and say, God, are there masks that I'm wearing? Where I'm trying to look spiritual instead of just being, allowing you to change and transform me to have a true spirituality and holiness that comes from you. That hungering and seeking after God, that it is the poor in the spirit who will be changed and transformed, that will see God, that will know God, and that will be filled with His presence, with His goodness, with His holiness. The poor in spirit. God, give us that hunger. Give us that hunger for you, God, I pray. And Lord God, if there's any masks in our life that we put up, maybe we just didn't realize it. But Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit right now is just speaking to us. Free us, Lord God. We don't want a false spirituality. We want a true spirituality that is found in you, Lord God, that is rooted in you, that is part of the work of your Spirit within our life, God. Change and transform us. And Lord God, it begins with making that commitment to you as our Lord and our Savior. We all must come before you and say, God, I'm a sinner, and I need your grace and your mercy. I need the forgiveness of sins. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. That's where it begins. That begins the journey. And then, God, it just us coming before you daily, humbly, saying, God, I seek your face. I want to know you. I want to know your word. I want to know your power within my life, your resurrection power. Set me free from the things that hold me. Set me free, God, to worship you. Set me free to glorify you with all that I do. Denise is going to lead us in a closing song, and Victor and Yolanda, if you'd join me, and Jay, if you'd join me up front here for prayer. If you have a need or request, if you need to ask Christ into your heart, you kind of prayed it, but you need to find one of these, our altar workers here, and pray with them, and we're going to help you on that journey. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you want to get on that path. If you have a need or request for any other needs, we just want to agree with you in prayer for healing, just for deliverance in some areas of your life, or you need encouragement, discouragement there. We just want to pray with you. We want to agree with you as the body of Christ. And we want to do that this morning. So, go ahead and lead us as she leads us in that chorus. Just respond this morning. Would you stand this morning? Would you stand and sing out with you all your heart? Let God take His word and apply it to your heart. What is God speaking to you today? If you need to respond to salvation or you just need prayer this morning, make your way to the front. Amen.
Let the King of my heart be the Lord.
Amen. Put up that first chorus, the first verse. On the words for it. The King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink. My song, keep going. Next slide. The shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. He's my song. Then verse 2. I just like, be the wind inside my sails. You ever feel like you don't have much wind in your sails? Just can't go anywhere? He is to be that wind within our sails, pushing us along. The anchor in the waves. The fire in my veins. Ooh. I like that one. right? How many need some fire in your veins? Maybe needed that this morning getting up, huh? God, give me fire in my veins. The echo of my days, here's my song. That comes as we come before God in prayer, fasting, even giving. You know, giving. How many have found that it's more blessed to give than receive? It is. It is. Amen. Victor, come and close us in prayer this morning. Spur of the moment. Just lead us out of prayer.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this day, this opportunity to came to you, came to your house. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to worship you. God, thank you for bless us, for touch our lives, for we use your servant to share your word. Thank you, God. Take care with us, the return to our houses. In the name of Jesus.